It's good to be in the church house today. Glory to God. That's about six of you. I got my work cut out for me, I can tell you that. All right, don't be afraid to say amen, even if you don't want to say amen. Just say it anyhow. God, you never know who you're going to encourage by that amen, all right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's first things first. We have been in the rotation of Pastor and I, I have been working on charity out of 1 Corinthians 13. Before we get into that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything that you are doing for my wife and I as far as meals are concerned. I have many deficiencies in life. And one of them is I went from a mother at the age of 18 to having a wife at the age of 18. And we have been married 45 years. So I could probably fry an egg. Now, some of you laugh, and you have a right to, because every man should at least know how to fry an egg, all right? My boys do. They all three of them could have been bachelors. They didn't end up bachelors, but they could have been bachelors. They knew Debbie had washed all the clothes and all of my shirts that I normally wear, and then every white shirt that I own, she washed them all, ironed them all. And it got down to about 2 days before she was ready to come home, and I realized, if this goes on any longer, I'm going to run out of my favorite black shirts that I wear all the time. And so while she was in Edgar Nursing Home, I said, I need you to do me a favor. Now, she has a wash machine and a dryer, but I guess everyone is space age now. I'm old school where you had a dial and it was either on or off and you put in a nickel or whatever, okay. But so she drew me a diagram of the wash machine. Yes, you laugh at me. You know, I'm allowing you to get your pound of flesh this morning, okay? Don't think it's going to come a lot, but I'm allowing that this morning. So she drew me the diagram because when her wash machine is working, it lights up like a Christmas tree. Man, there's green and red and blue and everything's blinking and And so she drew me that, and then she said, and I said, what about the dryer? She told me how to put stuff in and all that kind of stuff. So, but what I want to do is I want to thank you ladies. Nobody cooks better than First Bible Church, all right? So I want to thank you ladies ahead of time for the meals that have already been prepared, and I have eaten them, we have eaten them, and there's a list, and I just want to thank you just ahead of time. Also, as Pastor Mike said, he and I were given a Christmas, call it a bonus. And a man said to me in a derogatory way many years ago now, and it's been many years ago, and for whatever reason, he wanted to pick a fight. And sometimes you just got to let guys pick fights, all right? And you just have to, you know, you have to let them say what they want to say, and don't take it to heart. The guy just needed to pick a fight, and I was in his way that morning. But he said to me, he said, you know what your problem is? He said, you've never made it on your own. You know, I withheld the right punch. Good guy, too. Good guy. But he said, you know, you've never made it on your own. And he said, you've always lived off the goodness of First Bible Church. And he wanted to pick a fight. But you know what? I didn't have any argument with him that day. I have lived off the goodness of First Bible Church. I do. I remember Jimmy Lake saying something one time. He said, you know, I've never gotten over the fact that I get paid to preach. Now, I would preach if I wasn't paid, but truth be told, you know, my wife has two new knees. Do you know why? Do you know why? Tanuni? A.K.A. Deborah K. Dean. Do you know why she has two new knees? Because you pay for my health benefits. I applaud you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Really. If it stops tomorrow, by the grace of God, we'll pick ourselves up and keep motoring along, all right? But I don't want you to ever think, and I know I speak also for my brother, partner, pastor, all right? We don't take your goodness to us for granted, okay? We don't, do we, brother? We don't, brother. We will. And I'm always one step behind him because I know the role I play. But you know what? We will continue to lay our lives down just to show you that that's a wonderful thing to do. Doesn't make us any better than you. Just, it means, you want to know something? Get on the bus. Let's have some fun. All right? Get on the gospel bus. Let's get it done in this place. And one more thing. He says he's technologically challenged. I still have two cups and a string. I wouldn't even know what to... All I know is when my phone rings, I'm supposed... I don't answer it all the time, but I know I'm supposed to answer it all the time, all right? So I have to laugh every time he says he is technologically challenged. I really just have to laugh. All right, now, let's get down to where we're supposed to be today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have been working on charity. And the church at Corinth, both 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has had to reprove, he's had to prove them over again, he's had to correct them, he's had to instruct them. They didn't have everything wrong completely, but mostly everything wrong. He's had to rebuke them. And in chapter 13, there's 13 verses. And that's not bad luck. That's rebellion in your Bible. We know that. But they were missing the key. Paul was teaching good doctrine. And in this place, we have been taught good doctrine from the very get-go, from the very beginning, down to the present. And I've often said this to our institute class. If you would just pay attention in this in church, just on a Sunday morning, but Wednesday night's even a bonus. If you would just pay attention and take notes, in 3 years you would walk away with a seminary education that far exceeds anything that Mike Veacher, Pat Dean ever got. So we're going to say the good doctrine is here. But the one thing that the Corinthian church didn't have, they were missing charity. They were missing the application of that doctrine. They were missing it. And Paul had to take 13 verses and he gave them, he talked about a more excellent way in verse 31 of chapter 12. And then he goes down through there, and I'm not going to read it all again, but in verse number 4, we have already talked about charity. There's 15 things listed here. And there's 16 chapters in the book of 1 Corinthians, so if you would take chapter 13 out, Paul gave them 15 things to correct all the wrong. Charity suffereth long. We will not go back over that. And is kind. And I said several times already, as you read down through here, sometimes it sounds like a Sunday school lesson. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, that verse is not only for five-year-olds. It's for 105-year-olds. Okay? I'm going to look at another step, the third one this morning. Charity envieth not. It almost seems like a statement that you just run by and you don't give a lot of thought to. We all envy, you know. Do we? Maybe you don't even know what envying is. Because charity, the Bible says, envieth not. We are conscious to put the fact of reading your Bible through. This is the last Sunday in 2013. Man, we're about ready to turn the calendar to 2014. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Okay, I looked for him this morning and it didn't happen. I'm going to look for him tonight. I don't know what time of the day. Maybe you know what time of the day. I'm happy for you. I look for him every day, every hour. Come on, Lord, let's get it done. I'm waiting, and I'm no better than you are. But you want to, this is it. This is the year you read your Bible through. This is your year. We're starting off 2014. I got the last Sunday. The next Sunday's Pastor Mike, God willing. We're going to start 2000. This is the year you can actually do what you hear everybody talking about. You hear everybody talking about it, but you never do it. Some of you, not all. And this isn't condemnation. This is just coaching. But since 1970, I've worked real hard in reading my Bible through at least once every year. Read it through. Sometimes the older I get, and Jesus Christ, gets harder to do because my mind just goes in 40 different directions. But the Corinthian believers had a bit of a problem, and we've got the same problem today. It isn't how many times, even though it is absolutely important, it will give God a fighting chance. You got to give God a fighting chance in your life. Do you know how you give God a fighting chance? You got to know what God said. I don't care what he meant. I want to know what he said. But I am aware of one thing. It's not how many times you go through the Bible. It's how many times the Bible goes through you. Amen. I was listening. I'll make this comment and then we'll pray. I was listening. I think it was the History Channel. I like those channels where you got documentaries and history of that. Maybe some of you saw it. They were listing the 100 things that, I think it was a panel of 4, 5, or 6 people. Men and women. And they were putting their minds together, very intelligent people, putting their minds together. And they had listed the 100 things that had literally changed the world up to 2013. And I listened to it, and it was entertaining to a point. And I wondered they got down to the 10. Then they got down to the 5. And I thought, boy, I wonder what number one is. Do you know what 5 or 6, I forget the exact number, of unsaved people gave as the number one thing that has changed the world completely? That book. They actually, unsaved people. This wasn't a Christian station. These weren't Christians by any stretch. But they had come to the grand conclusion that the Bible is what has impacted the world the most since the time it was put into people's hands. Do you know why people don't read the Bible? It's too convicting. It is. I'm not talking about the thou shalt nots and the thou shalts. You just read it. I know why people put down the book. It's the same reason why I would put down the book. It's just too stinking convicting. And the reason, hey, I've read other books. Some of you have got PhDs. You've read all these wonderful philosophical books. There's only one book that ever spoke to my heart. There's only one book that ever changed my life. It is eternal. It is supernatural. And the reason people won't read it is because they get to a point where all of a sudden the Word of God convicts them. They get convicted in their own spirit, but the Word of God reproves them or rebukes them in an area where they're just not there yet. And instead of staying in the book, when I die, the only thing that you're going to remember from Pat L. Dean is, read the book! Read the book! Read the book! That's about six of you that are reading the book. Because herein is the answer. Now here's the answer. That's you reading the book. But you want that answer to change your life? Then you got to let the book read you. You got to let this book... I have a message here, and I'm going to get to it. Would you go to the book of Jeremiah with me? I'm going to take you to places. You know, we sang some of those sweet old hymns today. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. We sang some of those sweet, and they're all, to my soul, they're all sweet. But they never get old to me. Alas, and did my Savior bleed at the cross. Never gets old to me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And you know what? We sang that last. The great question that needs to be answered in your life today. Here's the great question. If God gives us a 2014, here's the great question that needs to be answered in your life. And it is not, how am I going to pay off my credit card that I maxed out for the Christmas of 2013? That's not the great question. That's absolutely your fault. Own your own sin. Sell everything you've got and pay your credit card off. Do you know the great question that has to be answered right this morning? I don't know where you're at. I'm looking back at some faces where I've seen you for years and years and years and years and years. Here's the great question that needs to be answered. Is it well with your soul? I didn't say, is your life on track? Is your marriage sweet? Are your kids all good? Bills are all paid? Job seems wonderful. Dog's alive. Cat's doing what cats do. You know. I guess some of my grandchildren got some kind of dragon, lizard. It's like they need another pet. You know what I mean? They live in the woods. They got pets all around them. By the way, my 12-year-old grandson, I know this has got nothing to do with the message, but I'm going to say it anyhow. My 12-year-old grandson, he got an opportunity, the Cancer Society's got an opportunity, he got an opportunity to go hunting. So John, for his first time, went hunting deer up in the mountains of North Carolina, and he got a deer. And then the Cancer Society asked Matt, listen, somebody canceled. We're going to do a bear hunt in the mountains of West Virginia. Guess what John shot the very first time he ever held a gun and saw a bear? He shot a bear. So they got a taxidermist down there. It's got nothing to do with the message. This is just me talking now. And some taxidermist is going to stuff it and, you know, the whole thing. I've got you in Jeremiah chapter 20. That had nothing to do with the message. That had absolutely nothing to do with anything on this message. I just want you to know my grandson killed a bear. And he's only 12, so don't mess with him. And you know what? Let me just say this to you. You know God's good.
Amen.
I wasn't sure he was going to make it past 7. And I just said, Lord, you gave him to us. He's yours. If you want him back, you must want him more than I do. You say, did you ever pray about God healing him? No. Never did. Never did. I just believed God had entrusted us with a heartache. And whatever God wants, let me tell you something. When you get to the place, and I'm not saying I'm here all the time, but when you ever get to the place where you just say, Lord, whatever you want's okay with me. You want us healthy, wealthy, and wise? Or sick and lame and problems? That's your business, Lord. Whatever you want. Because you never make any mistakes. See, some of you are wrestling with things right now, and I grieve for you. You're wrestling with, oh, this doesn't work, this isn't working, and that isn't working. And I've been where you're at. Many of us have been where you're at. And can I say something to you? When the Word of God gets where it got to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 20, it'll change the way you think. It'll change you. See, this book is just not facts and figures and numbers and people's names and events of life. This book is eternal. It was written by God to change your life. Change you. And I don't like being changed. Right now, we're going to stop and pray because I've been too long and I haven't prayed yet. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you, number one, that you saved us. I often say this, but Lord, I'm thankful you didn't come to call the righteous. Because I wasn't righteous. I didn't want to be righteous. I heard people talk about being righteous, and I didn't want any part of that. I was having too much fun and pleasure in my sin for a season. Then a faithful man of God told me that that season was just about ready to end. And I got convicted. And that morning you brought me, as you've brought many of us, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When I wasn't looking for you, you stepped out of heaven and made a deliberate march toward my soul. And Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you that you not only save, but you keep and you bless. And Lord, you give us a good church. You let me be a part of this church all these years. And the longer I live, and the longer this church stays a viable Bible church, the more I'm just amazed how good you are. I'm just overwhelmed that I just still get just to be a part of it, Lord. Father, we need you today. You gave us the invitation to come and dine, and your people are hungry, and I'm hungry. Lord, you must feed us today, I would ask. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Lord, you can draw, you can save, you can change lives yet this morning. You can heal brokenness yet this morning. You can do that. And I'm asking you to do that, Lord, for absolutely your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got you in Jeremiah chapter 20. And I didn't intend to start this way, but this is where we're at. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He has spent time in dungeons. He has spent time in pits with dung up to his arm, all armholes, and he's been maligned. He's been beaten at times, and all of it God permitted. And we read the book of Jeremiah, and it's somewhere where we're at right now in Jeremiah. If I can get my eyes to work right, you're somewhere around they went into captivity somewhere around 606 BC, Babylonian captivity. So Jeremiah's in that time period. But Jeremiah has gotten to chapter 20, and he wants to quit. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. Some of you are ready to quit. I know you are. I've just spoken to some of you. Some of you have lost jobs and you're ready to quit. Some of you have just decided that God, this isn't worth it. This thing of Christianity is not working. And I want to just stop there and say this to you. God's not Santa Claus. Good old Saint Nick. God's not good old Saint Nick. Some of your marriages aren't working. I know that because I've spoken to you recently. I watch you as you watch me. I can tell your marriage isn't working. One of the problems with being a pastor, I love everything about being a pastor other than one thing. You know too much. I'd rather just be ignorant sometimes and say, oh, I just didn't know that. But when you're one of the elder leaders and you hold the office of a bishop, you're supposed to know the state of your flock. So between Pastor Mike and myself, we keep ourselves aware of what's going on. But sometimes I'd just rather not know. And some of you are at that point. Some of you are going to close this year on not a high note. You're going to close this year being just on the verge of quitting. Just on the verge of leaving. You're going to leave church. You are. You say, not me, I'll never leave. You forget that I've been here almost 40 years. Seen them come, seen them go. Not happy when anybody goes. Never. Will you be here next year? I hope you can say amen. By the grace, I'll tell you, I'm going to preface that. By the grace of God, the Lord willing, the book of James says. Never say never, and never say I will. Because you never know what's going to come across the threshold of your life. Jeremiah chapter 20. Can I take you down to verse 6? It says, and thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. Now, the problem with the prophets, and it wasn't a problem, but the prophets were telling the truth, and the truth has never been accepted well. Jesus gave them the truth. Jesus was the truth. Can I ask you, how did that work out for him? Not very well. Didn't work out. Now, it worked out well for, he got resurrected and worked out real well for you and I. But at the time, it didn't work out real well. And he says, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. Then Jeremiah says in 7, 8, and 9, I have it redded, I have it highlighted, I have numbers 7, 8, and 9 circled, I have stars, I have, and I'll get to it, I have three words underlined. O Lord, This is Jeremiah here. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. See, some of you think because things are not going well for you right now that God's lied to you. That God's a liar. That God doesn't love you. And God's that how many times have you heard us say from this pulpit, God's interested in you. And you sit back there and your life falling apart and you doubt that. I know you do. You know how I know that? Because I've been there a couple times. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. I'm doing what you told me to do, God. See, you don't want God this morning. You want Santa Claus. You want good old St. Nick with all of his Christmas elves. Little short guys with big ears. You want this giving, giving, giving. You want him on the top of your housetop. You know, you want Prancer and Dancer, and that's the only ones I can remember, and all the rest of them. That's what you really want. But that's not God. That's not God. O Lord, look at verse number 8. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Nobody was accepting the message. Israel was his target, and Israel didn't want to hear. Well, let's just close up shop. Let's just stop. Forget it. I know he's 60 and I'm 63. Ain't no big deal. I bet you the two of us could still find a job somewhere doing something. I mean, Walmart needs a greeter. My boys laugh at me and say, Pop, you need to be a greeter at Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Come on in. I've got a tender side. You know I do. It just doesn't always show. And I have to put my voice in a different octave to try to be tender. And I can't. That's a fake. And I can't. You know, my voice is what it is. Amen. Come on in. Buy. Spend your money. Yeah, could you see it? Pat Dean, a greeter at Walmart. Nobody's listened to it. Let's just close up shop. We've been here. We've been here. Next year will be 39 years, Lord willing. And you know what? We haven't sat on our hands. There's only a few hundred people in the congregation. Nobody. Staten Island doesn't want to hear. New York City as a whole, they don't want to hear. Let's just close up shop and really get. Let's make some money. He sits on his creativity. I don't have any creativity, so I like hanging around him. But I know him. He sits on his creativity just to let God work miracles. And I'm not saying that to boast him, but I've been with him long enough. He's one of the most creative guys. So finding a job's not the issue. And I've got no pride about anything. I'll wash cars if I have to. I've delivered flowers for 4 years, beloved. Ain't no big deal. Some of you get, I was trained. Ask some of the brothers about training that have started their lives over in this place. And I applaud you. Amen. You couldn't get into your field and you took what you had to take. And God started blessing you. And God started opening up your eyes. And God started, you know, I had the four of the richest years in my life when I was delivering flowers for Kitty's Flowers, Paul Kleinow. I went from being the chief router of a very large trucking company. I went from paying my own salary here to delivering flowers. And you know what I came to learn? I'm nobody. God is everything. I got a brand new vision of God in those 4 years. Literally revolutionized the way I think. Nobody wants to listen to good old Jeremiah. I'm going to quit. Keep that thought. Keep that thought. I probably won't be able to find it. I'm going to quit. I like poems. I know I don't look that kind of guy, but I like poems. I like things that speak to me. Years ago, somebody gave this to me. It was at that low part of, I was starting over at the age of 40. And tried to get back into the business I was in for many years, and that didn't work out. Ended up delivering flowers, and somebody gave me this poem. I don't know who it was, but I want you, if you're in here today, I want to thank you for it, because it hangs on the wall of my office right now, and I got it in my Bible. Because you want to know something? Some of you want to quit. And you know what I'm going to tell you this morning? Don't you dare do it. Now, I haven't even gotten to the message, and I'm watching my clock. Don't worry about it. You say, what's this got to do with envy? Absolutely nothing. It is what it is. I don't care anymore. It is what it is. God put something on my heart, I'm going to speak it. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. Many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and a faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learns too late when the night slips down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint to that cloud of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Jeremiah is ready to quit. And all of a sudden, he gets down to verse number 9. Why do I tell you to read? Why does this church echo that simple little phrase? Read the book. Read the book. Because that book's got to go from your psyche to your heart. But it's got to go one other place. Because if it doesn't get to this place, you probably will quit. Jeremiah said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I am done." Done. Look at the next three words. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. It had gone from his mind into that part of his thinking and his emotions called his heart. But it had gone one other place. It had gotten down to where the life of the flesh is at. It had gotten down where the blood is made in the core of the bones. as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, I wanted to quit, and I just could not do it. Could not do it. Can I just jump now, and I am going to make a jump here. We talked about charity envieth not. And I know this seems a little butchered this morning, but there's just something that drove me to, because it's easy to quit, folks. It's easy to quit. It is. It's easy to stop being a good dad. It is. One thing we're going to try not to lie to anybody. You want to know something? If anybody says I never wanted to quit, and maybe you've never been there, but I've got the pulpit today. You know what? I wouldn't embarrass myself or you or God by telling you how many times I just said, this is crazy. I've had enough. I've just simply had enough. I've had enough of being a husband. 45 years. I've had enough of being a husband. I've had enough of being a dad. I just had enough. If you've never been there, I know some of you are there this morning. You got unsaved wives. You got unsaved husbands. Maybe you got a saved husband that just doesn't treat you good, at least what you think is good. Maybe you got an unsaved wife and she just yells at you and screams at you all the time. I've never had that. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't. Maybe the job is just. I said this to you. I think maybe it was the Sunday pastor was out west. I still get nauseous every time I go over the Gothels Bridge. And it's got nothing to do with the bridge that needs to be replaced. I can remember going over that bridge at 5:30 in the morning. He's laughing because he knows it. Because he got higher in the chain of command than I did. At 5:30 in the morning, you're going over that bridge and you're swooping around and you're coming up, making a jug handle, and you're coming underneath of it because you're going down there and you're making a left to, I think it was South Front Street or whatever street it was, and you're going down to the water because the building on the left is called Joseph Corey Warehouses. Now, we made a decent living and I'm alive today, but you want to know something? I hated that job. He laughs because it's the truth. He calls them, the 7 lost years or 8 lost years or whatever it was. And he made pretty good money. Health benefits were good. Good place. Tony Marakis worked there. Dozens of our guys worked there in some capacity. He ended up being the head of transportation in the Elizabeth Terminal. I was a chief router for about 15 years. But you want to know something? I hated that job. I hated it. To this day, I've been away from that building a long time. And to this day, when I go, if I have to go over to Newark to pick somebody up and I go over the Gothels Bridge, I get nauseous. It's got nothing to do because the bridge is, can you reach out and touch someone? It's got nothing to do with it. You know what kept me alive? The Word of God. The Word of God. Somehow. You say, is it magic, Brother Pat? No, it's not magic. It's absolutely all work, isn't it, brother? It's flat work. It's just work. I see people here today. I'm just going to reminisce a little bit. I see people here today that are married now. That if it wasn't for the Word of God, they wouldn't be married to that person. They wouldn't be married to that person. Let me tell you what. If it wasn't for the Word of God, I wouldn't be married to Deborah K. Dean. I wouldn't. I was just too full of myself. You remember? I'm God. You're underlings. I'm God. Everything revolves around me. And then Jesus Christ captured me. And I became to realize that everything does not revolve around me. Pastor started this out by people just being thankful. There's people here today that their lives, I watched them. I counseled them. I loved them as much as I could, my wife and I. And you know what? Their life was just falling apart around them. And they were hanging on by threads. They were hanging on. They were hanging on by a page. They were hanging on. I said this in the men's prayer breakfast. Go to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14. I got a call from family last night. Won't go into any details. But after the call, I was about as depressed as I could be. Family's a marvelous dynamic. All good. But family is a marvelous dynamic to me. I'm talking about people that come out of your loins. Including me that came out of Grandpa Dean's loins. Okay? Family's just a marvelous dynamic to me. I can be way up here, man, on the mountaintop with the book open. Me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, the sweet smell of the fragrance of the garden. And then I get a phone call. You've got those phone calls. It's Christmas time. You get those phone calls. Maybe you've made one of those calls. I hope you're not the maker of the call. How you doing? Oh, we're doing great, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff, and we had a great Christmas, and thank you for the money, and da, 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 and all of a sudden somebody says in the background, yeah, but you got to let them know this. Oh, man, I don't want to know this. I don't want to know it. And all of a sudden they begin to regurgitate something, and I won't even go into it because it shouldn't be gone into. But enough to say when the phone was, when Debbie hung up the phone and and I said, oh, God, I'm about as depressed as I can be. You know what? I've watched some of you, and you've watched me. One of our men, I didn't call him by name, Eli Adler, I want to thank you, brother. Now, we text a lot. I'll get to Charity Envieth Not the next time, God willing. Let me tell you how important you are to Pat L. Dean. Just me. I know we're together in this thing. I can almost speak just for me, okay? I woke up one morning, and for the last 3 years, you know what it's been for Pat and Debbie Dean? It's been stents in the heart. I hit 60 and all hell broke loose. That's just life. You say, are you depressed? Are you kidding me, man? I'm one step closer to home. Bring it on. Give me that salami. Bring it on, man. Let's just see if that thing actually, if it's really, you think Denise is really in there? You think if I eat 42 pounds of salami at one time, it'll keep working? I woke up one morning, finally got Deb home. Now Tanuni is actually really Tanuni. And I thought, you know, Lord, man, this has been I've had a blast. I've been with my partner here for, you know, we got back together. I've had a blast with my wife, Margaret, kids, church, family. I'm having a time of my life. I thought, man, we hit 60 and everything just went to that place in a handbasket. I went from no medications to half a dozen medications just in one day. Poof. I asked the doc, how long do I have to take all this stuff? He said, you're on it for the rest of your life, buddy. Don't you dare miss one day. Oh, okay. So we're in a men's prayer breakfast. We're having a wonderful time. We're singing hymns and we're talking and guys are testifying. And I don't know, once again, I don't always, I'll let you do it. I've been at this a long time. I want to hear you. I woke up that morning and I said, Lord, this is nuts. This is just crazy. Is this what how this is going to be? Yeah. You ever get like that? It's like, oh Lord, I know your grace is sufficient. But it just seems like, man, I've spent more time in doctor's offices and hospitals and on. And you know what it is? Let me tell you what it is. It's a pity party. That's called a pity party, by the way. Don't you do that. Don't you be like Pat Dean. Don't you have a pity party. But here's what one man can do. Here's what one believer in First Bible Church can do for another believer, and he didn't even have a clue. A text. All of a sudden, ding. Yeah. And I look around and thought, oh, maybe the coffee's done. Maybe this. No. Then I realize, oh, it's my phone. I have to get my cups and my string out. Ding. And I see, oh, it's Eli. Now, I'm not puffing him up. But I didn't say who it was. Everybody think I probably knew who it was. Let me tell you how important you are. Let me tell you how important you are to me. I want to tell you this morning. Can I take you to John chapter 14? Because you know the devil will say, you know what? Your house hasn't sold in North Carolina. It still hasn't sold. It'll be 3 years in February. Yeah, I whistle all the time about that. So you're paying the mortgage and you're paying the taxes and you're paying the utility bills and you're paying the landscaper and you're paying this and you're paying that. And I have no desire. No, none whatsoever. I don't care if the kids and grandkids and I have no, I'm, you're going to bury me in the parking lot. That's just something I've settled in my mind now. I'm back. You're going to bury me on this property somewhere. Take the ashes and put them somewhere where the dogs don't get them, all right? But all of a sudden the devil says, you know, you should have waited until that house sold. I said this to him. I said, you know, nowhere in the New Testament am I told to live by fleeces. I'm supposed to live by faith. You know what a fleece is? Lord, you sell my house, I'll serve you. I'm like, what'd you say? Like a deal. Huh? Thank you, sister. Now, Jermaine, you guys are not that old in the Lord. A little bit. We're not that old. She even sees it's a deal. And you walk in, you go back into walking through that Old Testament where people, and God let it happen. God, you know, Gideon's fleece and all that kind of stuff. But when he asked me to come back, I said, okay, let's pray about it. God gives me an okay. God gave me about 14 different witnesses. God gave me a green light. Let's do it. I didn't ask him how much he's going to pay me. Ain't no big deal, brother. But you know that house still hasn't sold. I've had it on the market with two different realtors. I got people going through it and they're offering me half of what it's worth, blah, 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 blah. Looked into short sales, being honest with you this morning, just telling stories. Looked into short sales. The bank says, you got to do this. Take me 6 months just to read the paper on a short sale. So I just keep paying. The Lord's good. Money cut. I keep paying. But you know what? The devil sits on your shoulder sometimes. He says, you know what? You got a wonderful 80-foot porch down there. Do you know it was 78 degrees the other day? I've had to buy winter coats, muckluck boots, had to dig out my old hat, you know, my old Alaskan, you know, muckluckin' hats. And the devil says, you know what? Made a mistake. You just should have waited till the house sold. Well, if I'd have waited till the house sold, I wouldn't be preaching to you this morning. I wouldn't get the fellowship. And let me say this to you. This is just kind of Dad talking to you today. This is my beloved church. And when I use the word beloved, it goes way, way beyond the word love. There's a depth to the word beloved that just you cannot explain it to somebody. Jesus Christ is not part of my life. Jesus Christ is my life. Without Him, I am dead in trespasses and sins. But I stood there at that coffee machine and Debbie's upstairs sleeping and she's doped up with oxycodone and because she's body's racked with pain and I'm reaching, I'm getting my cup of coffee and I'm pulling out my little pill basket and it's got seven different things in it and I'm taking them all out and as I'm looking at it I'm saying, God, this is crazy. I didn't have one of these 3 years ago. Maybe this just isn't right. I came back and got sick. How stupid is that? Then God said, did you ever read my book? You haven't read my book enough. Most everybody that decided to serve me, the bottom fell out of their life. That's just the truth, isn't it, brother? We've experienced things together as a church. We know what's about. All right, and I can pat all of you. Guess what? You get saved and sometimes the bottom falls out. You lose a job. The babies get sick. The grandkids get cancer. All of a sudden there's problems. And then Eli Adler, unbeknownst, I don't know why he chose this verse. But I'm standing there because I'm just being honest with you. Don't ever think leadership doesn't want to quit. But His Word got into my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And Eli Adler, and I'll just read, I never even read, Eli likes to put like verses together, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's a long, it's a scrolling text. And I read them, I don't answer him most of the time. Sometimes it's like, thank you, brother, amen, da 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 da. But it's like, okay, I read the, look at John 14:1. Let, you know what God said to me that day? The Bible spoke to me. The Bible. Amen. I didn't get some deep, dark doctrine out of Ezekiel. You know, the hairs on the under part of a cherubim. You know what God said to me? I was standing there at that coffee machine, ready to take a half a dozen pills. He said, Pat, let not your heart be troubled. Me and Jesus had a moment. It's what my son Matthew would say, Dad, Pop, he calls me Pop. Pop, everybody needs a God moment. God. Where God, you know what? I've been reading this book for 40 some years. I've read John 14. I've used it to win people to Christ. I've used it probably 10,000 different ways. But you know what God did that morning? Amen. Let Amen. Not your heart. And you know, Eli, I'm going to say this to you. I didn't read the rest of the verse, not because I knew it by heart, but I got stuck on, let Amen. Not Amen. Your heart be troubled. Can I say this to you, and I'm going to quit. I could say, somewhere next, Lord willing, we'll get back to charity envieth not. I had no intention of doing this, by the way. I sat at my desk this morning, and I said, you know, you're going to do something different today that you never do. You're going to stick with your notes. And you know what happened? I never got to my notes. You know what? We're a family. Nobody's better than anybody else. Amen. We're all just sinners saved by God's grace. Amen. Some of you are going through deep valleys right now. Some of us have either, we're about ready to go through one. Some of us are in one. Some of us are coming out of one. Can I say this to you? Let not your heart be troubled. The King of Kings, the High King of Heaven, is still on the throne. And when you get that phone call, when you hang up, you look at your beloved wife and say, "Oh God, how did that happen? Why did that person do that? What the heck?" You know, and I don't say heck with my wife. I say something else. What the heck is wrong with that person? Come on. And then Jesus pulls me aside and said, "I know all about it. You don't have to fix the world. Let not your heart be troubled." Let's bow our heads.